Now, we'll be talking about some of these feelings, and as I mentioned, for each feeling, each emotional experience, we'll go ahead and share with you what you can do about it. Now, along the way, I would like for you to do this. Those of you who are going through this experience, I'd like for you to not just listen along and think along as we talk about this. I would like for you to just kind of do a casual inventory. You know, just, you know, don't make it anything that's super, super serious. But just as I go through these emotions, see which ones you've experienced. And, you know, if it won't take a lot of energy, don't want you to put a lot into this. I really don't. I want you to just grab the concepts and again, grab hold of what you can do about it. You know, we're continually trying to bring information to you that you can use, that you can put into play in your life. But if you can do it just casually, identify which of these experiences, these emotional experiences you've had, and which ones you seem to have the most. And when I say the most, most from two perspectives, which tends to be the most intense, which experience seems to be the most frequent? Because they may be different, they may be the same. Which emotional experience seems to be the most intense? Which seems to be the most frequent? But main thing is, hear what we're saying about what these emotional experiences can be and what can be done about them. Starting with anger and resentment. Let's mention that one first. Anger and resentment. It can stem possibly from feeling unappreciated to feeling trapped. Caregiving stress can set off your anger. You might lose your temper. You might blurt out something that you normally would not even say, much less blurt out. If it happens, what can you do? If you experience the anger, you experience the resentment, whether all the feelings are inside, the thoughts are in your head, and or not only is it on the inside, but you have maybe blurted something out. This is what you can do. Forgive yourself. Step away if you need to. Take a few breaths to kind of refocus and settle yourself down. Don't get upset about people saying, you know, you hear me say, settle yourself down. Sometimes people are offended when they hear someone say, calm down, settle yourself down. I'm not saying it in an offensive way. And know this, sometimes people get offended because someone says to them, calm down or settle down. They're upset because they feel like, oh man, in a way I've lost control, and this person's bringing it to my attention that I've lost control or I'm losing control. Well, maybe that is the case. And as long as a person is approaching you in the right way, you know that they're only trying to do you a favor when they say, settle yourself down. We're sharing with you some specific steps you can take to do that. Again, forgive yourself. That is key, because it's going to be somewhere either at the forefront of your mind or maybe the back of your mind that that wasn't cool what I did. It wasn't cool what I was feeling. It's not cool what I said. Don't assume that you're going to be all right about that. Go ahead and forgive yourself, even if you don't say it out loud. Whether you say it out loud or you say it silently, you say it only in your heart and mind, whatever works best for you, but do it. Forgive yourself. If you need to step away, step away. And remember what we said now, deep breathing. And that's why I said, settle yourself down. Calm yourself down. You are literally calming body and soul when you take those few breaths. Breathing in deeply through the nose, breathing out slowly. And what better time than when you're feeling stressed about a loved one to settle yourself down? You may feel fear and anxiety. You may have a long list of concerns. What if I'm not around when something goes wrong? What if I make a mistake? Anxiety happens when we feel out of control, but it's also a warning to pay attention and tend to your own needs. So this is what you can do. Try to avoid focusing too much on what ifs. Keep your attention on things that you can control, like making a backup plan for when you can't be around. How about this one? Grief. Any of you experience grief? People usually think of grief when someone dies, but it's really about loss. When a loved one gets sick, it changes this person you know so well, which affects your relationship too. And that is a loss. When it gets to a point where you can no longer relate to a loved one the way you once did, you really are experiencing loss. That's what I was sharing with you before, and none of you have heard me say this over the years. It's true. We don't just experience loss when someone dies. Loss can come in many different forms. And so you find yourself in a situation wherein you're no longer able to relate to this person who you may have been relating to for years, and you can experience grief. Here's what you can do about that. Recognize, first of all, that you may need to grieve. Sometimes you just need to cry. It's okay. It's one way that your body releases that pressure. And remember what you've heard yours truly say to you numerous times. We are the inner being, the part of us that cannot be seen with the natural eye, and we are our physical body, the part that we can see with the natural eye. And that's why there's such a close connection between the two. And so it is the inner being, the inner person, who we don't see who's grieving, but it's also the brain involved with that. And one of the ways that we help the inner being, the inner person, and the body release the pressure that comes with grieving is to go ahead and grieve. Don't try to be strong and hold back on the grieving. That's not the proper way to be strong. The proper way to be strong in cases like that is to first of all acknowledge, oh man, I'm hurting. This is just tearing me up. And allow yourself to go ahead and grieve. Even if you have to say, I think I'm grieving. And so I'm going to go ahead and grieve. I'm just going to let myself go through this. I'm going to go ahead and grieve. Now, the way to get to a point where you're no longer grieving is not to try to shut down the grieving process, but to go ahead and flow through it so that you can eventually come to its end. But as long as you keep trying to shut down your grieving process, you'll never get to its end. All you're going to be doing is suppressing, 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 which means it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays inside you. It just stays with you. And that's what you don't want. I can tell you, we are not going to cover all that I wanted us to cover today when it comes to dealing with the ways that we can, as caregivers, you can help yourself stay well while caring for your loved ones. So have no fear. I will pick it up on Saturday. Whatever we don't get to today, I'll get to on Saturday. And I mean, let's think about it. Holiday season is going to be here for a while. So we don't need to try to rush through this and wrap it all up in 10 or 15 minutes. No, no, no. It'd probably do some good for a lot of you to actually have it spread out over a few days so you can digest some of what I will have shared today over the next few days and then be ready to receive some more of it. All right. How are you doing so far, though, with regards to the emotions that I've already talked about? How many of those have you experienced? Anger and resentment, fear and anxiety, grief. Several of those, one of those. Which of those do you tend to experience the most often? All right. More speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. in just a few.